Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Jenna here again with another SBCN Small Biz Podcast. I'm one of the co-founders of the Small Business Community Network, and I'm really delighted to have one of our member experts here with us today, Ian Ingalls, who is a realtor. And if there's anything you need to know about that kind of topic, Ian is the person to contact. Hi, Ian.
Hey, Linda. How are you? Happy New Year.
Thank you so much. 2026 is going to be a wonderful year for everyone. I know it is. Let's forget the politics.
Exactly.
And, you know, all the bad things going on. It's going to be a wonderful year, Ian. And I know you've got a fantastic topic today to talk to us about, you know, if somebody's thinking about buying a home, but also you have some updates on the, I guess, the industry you are in.
The market stats, yes.
Market stats.
You're actually, they're hot off the press. The ink is still wet. Literally, they just came out 30 minutes ago. So it's literally, I've just been looking at them myself. So basically, overall, what we're seeing is that prices did decline in 2025 and the housing inventory increased. So a lot more homes on the market. Just to give you a rough idea, I would say it looks like from what the time I've had to study this, that prices in general have dropped around 6% over the year from where it was a year ago at this time. But one area where we did see a significant higher drop was in condo apartments. Oh. And a lot of that is just because of the amount of units that are currently on the market for sale. And so we have seen a drop in that particular market a little higher than the 6%. What we're predicting in 2026, although it's kind of hard to look in a crystal ball right now with everything that's going on, I think the market is going to remain pretty steady. I think the interest rates are probably going to come down a little, but are not going to do enough to affect the market. No. But I think prices are pretty well stabilized. If we do see to see any increases, probably likely going to be in the second half of the new year. And I think there's going to be some good opportunities for first-time homebuyers with the interest rates where they are and prices coming down. And it's all about affordability, isn't it?
It is, and it's, as I say, good news for the home buyers, not good news for the home sellers, but what goes up comes down. You know how it goes.
Yeah, real estate is definitely, you're in for the long term, right?
You are.
But overall, it's probably the best investment you can make if you're able to. But what I wanted to talk about today is, so here we are in 2026. You've been thinking or talking possibly about selling your home this year. Many different reasons why that could be. You could be thinking about downsizing. You could be thinking, oh, we need to get a bigger home. Maybe you're relocating outside of the community. There's many, many different reasons. But what should you do? Well, the first thing I would suggest is contact your realtor. Once you've made the suggestion or thought about the idea of selling your home, the earliest point you can get your realtor involved, the better.
Yeah.
First of all, so contact your realtor. If you don't know a realtor, talk to friends, colleagues, anybody that you know that you trust, and they probably would be able to give you a name of a realtor that they've used and had a good experience with. So the point of contacting the realtor early on, first of all, you want to know, you know, most people want to know, what's my house worth? That's the first big thing. So your realtor will be able to tell you, be able to come in and do what they call an evaluation. The realtor will be looking at, okay, what other homes are currently on the market for sale. They'll also be looking at what other homes recently sold for, which really tells us a more truer picture of what their home might be worth. So when you've determined a value, and some people have a good idea of what their home is worth because they follow the market. And other people, like, they're just shocked. Like, my home's worth this much? You know, which is obviously a pleasant conversation as opposed to saying, oh, it's only worth that much. You know, there's two conversations, but you know, the market is the market, and this is what we, you know, if you're going to sell your home, this is the market we're working in. And so you just try and determine a value up front. So once you've determined a value, then obviously, you know, we all live today to day in our homes, but how we live in our home and how we get it ready to get it ready for sale are two different things. You know, so your agent will be able to tell you by walking through the home with you, okay, these are some of the things that we should be looking at. So I usually bring my daughter with me. Lisa, who is our photographer and stager, and she has a critical eye about things. But some of the things that we should be looking for, the obvious thing, obviously, is decluttering. Getting things, you know, out of closets so it doesn't look like as soon as you open the door, everything falls out, you know, which, you know, we all do. I mean, day to day, we live with that, and that's the way it is, right? But from a selling purpose, you don't want the closet to look over full. We want it to look, you know, comfortable, that sort of thing. Yeah. Everything off countertops, making it as clean as possible. And that's in your kitchen, your bathroom, pretty well everywhere. We're looking at painting. What are the colors on the walls? Again, in my own home, we had a really nice red wall in our kitchen. And I said to her, my wife, was that, you know, if we're going to sell this home, it's great. We love it. But the next buyer probably isn't going to love it. Yeah. So that's something, you know, I would be suggesting is that, okay, is there any walls that are kind of a focal point or in a room and it's a very bright color? We want to go to more kind of earthy tones. We want to appeal to the masses type of thing. Mm-hmm. Flooring, that's another thing. What type of flooring is there now? Is it hardwood floors that are in rough shape? Is it something to consider worth refinishing those floors? Is it an old vinyl flooring, which doesn't look great? Is it possible that we could think about replacing that flooring? Now, these are all suggestions. There's not something that Homer has to do. My job is to point out the things that I think is going to maximize the value of your home when you sell it. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is offer suggestions. So the whole home, basically, when I walk through, I make a list and I give it to the potential client or the client and say, look, this is our suggestions, which we feel would offer you the best value to do. And it's up to you whether you want to do it. One of the biggest things, again, is decluttering. And it's not just off countertops. It's in rooms, amount of furniture you have. Sometimes people will, you know, put stuff in their garage, which is fine for the time the house is for sale. Or they rent a storage space. A lot of people sometimes rent some of those. You've seen those containers in people's driveways. And they will put the stuff temporarily in there or they'll put it in the garage. Uh-huh. Because so we want to make the home feel as bright and clean and airy as possible. And there's good when people are walking through, they're not bumping into furniture and that sort of thing. So that's on the interior. So then we look at the exterior as well, because you drive up to a home, you can imagine first impressions are everything, right? So when you walk up to a home and I'm going to be showing it, you're already looking, okay, how is this place being maintained? Is the grass cut? Is there a lot of weeds in the gardens? You know, and even, you know, what's the color of the front door? And this may sound something really silly, but does the lock work properly? You know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's nothing worse than, you know, you're going up with a buyer to look at the house and you're having trouble getting in the house because the key doesn't work. And already people are starting maybe subconsciously thinking, okay, well, I know that's just a minor thing, but what other things are not working? Yeah. Like, yeah. You know, it's just, you know, those sort of things. So it's very important just, you know, to go through. Now, this is why you do it early on. Let's say we're not thinking of selling for 6 months. Which is absolutely fine because we all have different schedules that we're working towards and maybe reasons why. Yeah. But rather than call your agent 2 weeks before you want a list, talk to them now, and it gives you time to do those little things which are going to make a big difference towards the end, right? And so, you know, so you're not rushing around right at the end to get things ready. Staging also is a big part of things for us as well. Staging is a big thing. We will try and use the furniture that the clients have. Obviously, in a vacant home, that's a different situation. If the home is already empty, people have left. We do our own staging. And staging will typically, in a vacant home, it will, if you took two homes side by side, the same, and one was vacant and one was staged, on average, those homes sell for 3 to 5% more. Because sometimes people have a hard time visualizing what it's going to look like. And so you're just more comfortable walking in when you see furniture around and what have you. If it's vacant, yeah, that's fine. You can see every, you know, scratch, everything everywhere, right? But it, I just think that we do our own staging. And as I say, we feel that it really enhances the property because we're trying to, again, show that property in its best light. Okay. The other thing we'll talk to the clients about, obviously, is when we get to the point that, you know, we're a few weeks away getting the house ready for sale, have the house, we offer a service to our clients about, we offer professional cleaning. Okay. Like just before the home is ready to go in the market. We know how tough it is when you've got a family and everything else. But we'll come in, you know, a couple of days before the home's going to go on the market, and we'll have a professional cleaning company come in and clean your house top to bottom. That's one thing that you don't, one less thing that you have to worry about, right? And then we'll come in and stage the place. Then we'll basically come in and do our professional photography. And that's another important thing. You want to make sure you're using an agent who does, has a professional photographer, does the virtual tours. We're even, depending on the property now, getting into drone photography. So if we're out in the country with a bigger property, that sort of thing, we're now using drones. That's how much our industry has evolved. And so once we get to that point, you're pretty well ready to go. And then we maybe close to the time, not maybe on our initial interview, but when we get this point, then we start doing all the paperwork and everything like that. But it's really important to plan ahead. I mean, sometimes situations happen and then it has to be sold and you don't have the luxury of having that time. But that's why I say get your agent involved as early as possible when you're thinking about selling a home. And you may decide once you've talked to your realtor that, yeah, maybe this is not the right time to do it. And that's absolutely fine. I mean, we provide this service as offering information so you can make a good decision. And basically then, you know, you say, yep, I think this sounds good. We're going to work on getting these things done. And I usually then keep in touch with the client over that next few months, see how things are going. And they say, let me know when you're about, you know, 3 weeks, a month away from being ready. And then we will, you know, we'll start the other process. So that's kind of, wow. You know, I know there's a lot to take in. And again, some of it is, you know, time of year, obviously at this time of year.
Yeah.
If you know you've got somebody, once the house is on the market and you've got somebody coming to view it,
the
obvious things, you've got to make sure the beds are made, all the kids' toys are away, any pets are either out of the house or being taken care of. Make sure the driveways are safe and it's been salted and everything like that. All those little things make a big difference because there's nothing worse again than coming to a home and this driveway hasn't been shoveled. Again, people are not seeing your home in the best light because just those little things can make a big difference. So I'm sure there's many other things that I haven't mentioned, but those are the type of things that we would be talking to our clients about who are thinking of taking that step.
That's amazing. Now, obviously, I emigrated here in 93 from England and we sold three homes over there. So with the first home, we only had a 3-month-old child. So obviously, there's not much mess, you know, when you've had your first child. Mm-hmm. The second two homes, we did have four children. But I'm a clean person. I'm not saying not everybody's clean, but I like to clean I call them the skirting boards. What do you call them? The basement
boards? Baseboards, yeah.
I clean those. I clean behind the toilet. I do all the things maybe a lot of people wouldn't think about. So if I was going to walk into a home to buy or even rent, I'd be looking for the cleanliness first. Toys on the floor are a danger sometimes to people walking around. And actually, when we sold a house here in Canada, we had five cats So they were in the garage. No one else could put them, with a big sign saying, do not let the cats in. Obviously, somebody did open the door.
Yes,
We weren't there. All of it seems sensible to me. The one thing that I think has changed, I don't know whether it's changed in England and it's like here, but the staging, the putting your stuff in storage and making it look different. Maybe in the olden days when I lived in England, people didn't think like they think today, but I think, especially with the choice of homes on sale at the moment, if you don't stage your house properly, if it's not clean, if it's not maintained properly, I think they will lose the sale. All good points. Now, do people mostly ask about the front door colour because they don't like the colour or because some colours are a no-no?
No, I would say not because they're a no-no. It's because it's your personal. Usually, if it's a very vibrant color, then it does stand out. And sometimes some homes will look good with that. But again, it's an individual thing. First impressions. Okay. And so again, I would say if the door's in good shape and it's an okay color, you don't have to worry about it. But let's say it was, for whatever reason, it was bright red. Yeah. Some houses look pretty good with a bright red door, but some don't. Again, we're just trying to appeal to the masses, right?
That's a good answer.
You know, the other thing I was going to say is, you know, that's another reason we have the home professionally cleaned, because as you said, you do the baseboards and behind. But day to day, maybe people just don't have that. That's one of those things we live with, right?
Plus, you know, the front door, excuse me a moment, the front door, it's very hard to keep clean in this weather or if there's a building site closed. But I love to go out in the spring and freshen up the front door, clean the glass, get in the grooves. We've got a virtually newish front door, but I like to make that clean and the handle. And I noticed that in other homes, so you know, that's what I would do, but not everybody. So the professional cleaners that you offer, I think, would think about things like that, don't you?
Yeah,
you
know? And again, if we can make a special note of things, if we see something in the home that should be looked after, we'll make a special mention to the cleaners. We says, by the way, could you just make sure that that's done properly? Because, you know, those just are the, again, we can make sure that that sort of stuff gets done.
I don't do this, but I've thought about it more and more since we've been in this home. This is the longest home we've ever been in. You slide the windows open and there's the mesh, but then there's all this gungy stuff. I clean that as often as I can. So does anybody ever look into that, or is that a no-no?
No, again, I just think it depends on the individual person.
On the person.
Yeah, or the people.
All these things
Some people... They wouldn't bother them. And no. Some people, they walk in and said, oh, look at this. This is so black and everything like that. And now, it may not be ultimately the decision of why they don't buy that home. But, you know, again, it's just one little thing that can make a difference. And I said to a lot of people, it would just be water off a duck's back. But some people would say, oh, I don't like that. And then people start forming impressions, you know. Yeah. And again, we talked about the front door, the key working. And when you walk into a house and, you know, maybe this handle is broken or this and this.
Yeah.
And it just reflects how the house has been maintained by the current homeowner. And it may be minor stuff, right?
Yeah, but,
it's just little stuff, but people start to form these impressions, right?
What about the roof? We had no choice but to get a new roof about 3 years ago, and they're expensive. But I'm thinking when we come to buy, whenever that may happen, another home, do people ask how old is the roof? How old is the roof?
Yeah, that sort of information is usually provided by the homeowner. Mm-hmm. When was the last time the roof was placed? Because obviously, if it's a fairly new roof, it comes with a transferable warranty, sort of thing. And most prudent people will have a home inspection done as well. Mm-hmm. So your home inspector, I mean, usually you can tell, you know, but obviously it's the middle of winter. How do you know? right? But like
Exactly.
the other three seasons, you can see the roof, and you can see from the outside if it's worn, or if you start to see some of the shingles curling, that's a sign that the roof's going to need replacing. And it is a significant investment to replace a roof. You know, you're talking anywhere probably for $6,000 or $7,000 and up, depending on what you put on. But a roof is, so we kind of talked a little bit about the kind of the cosmetics of the home. But then you get into the other things, talking about, when was the furnace last serviced? Does it have a water softener? How old is the hot water heater? What type of electrical is it? Is it knob and tube wiring? Is it fuses? Is it breakers? There's all these things. And again, as a realtor, you'll walk through the house. And, I've had plenty of people buy a home and it's still got, fuses in it. But typically with insurance companies, they'll say, yeah, we'll give you insurance, but you have to have it changed over to breakers within a certain time frame. Every insurance company is different, right?
Interesting, interesting.
But these are the things, again, maybe a homeowner who's selling is not going to do it.
No.
But any potential buyer is going to look and say, oh, I'm going to have to probably spend $2,000 or $3,000 to get the electrical panel upgraded. But roofs, going up into the attic. Like, when was the last time you went into your own attic? We just don't do that. Okay. So that's why it's important for when you have a home inspection done, that the home inspector will stick his head up into the attic, and what they're looking for is the amount of insulation is there. What type of ventilation? Is it a good ventilation? And we do run into this situation once in a while that you see evidence of mold on the sheeting on the back of the roof. And that's a situation which can be remedied. It doesn't have to be a deal breaker.
No.
But if there's signs of mold, then we have to figure out, okay, how significant is it? What would be the cost to remediate it? Is that something the seller would be prepared to do? Or is it going to reflect what the buyer is going to offer because they're going to have to do this? But these are all the little things. And said, we've talked about the cosmetics, but now you've got to also look at the home itself and the structure and everything.
That's interesting. Before we close, is there a difference or a different percentage of people wanting to buy newly built homes versus very older homes? Or is it just, no difference?
Again, I think it's a personal thing. Now, the government now is coming out with some incentives for first-time home buyers that they won't have to pay HST on homes up to $1 million. They're trying to make it more affordable for those first-time buyers. And so that's one thing they're doing. But, I think it's been really tough for the builders the last number of years, and just because of the way the market's been and everything else. So some people, they look, okay, I'm going to spend a little bit more money getting a new home, but it's everything's new. I don't have to worry about it. But then, okay, then I'm going to have to put a deck on. I'm going to have to fence the yard. Is the air conditioning included? Am I going to have to add air conditioning? So, yes, you're getting a new home, but then you've got all these add-ons that you got to do afterwards. Whereas you have an older resale home, then it's already got a fence, and this and this and this. And so, those, but again, I think
personal choice.
Yeah, it's a personal choice thing. There's plenty of options open.
That is such a lot of information, Ian, because obviously we know some of the ins and outs, but you've shown me some more today. But a lot of people who are selling for the first time, selling and buying for the first time need to know these things and not go into it blind. So this is why we call you the expert realtor. You've got a lot of expertise. How long have you been in business, Ian?
This is my 44th year.
You're the man to go to, and Julie and all your team. How can we find you? Where can people, where's the best place to find you, to contact you?
Yeah, no, if you'd like to get a bit more information, like to chat, you can either reach me on my cell, which is 519-570-8927. Or you can just email me at ianingles@remaxsolargold.biz. And if you just want to chat, I'd love to chat to you.
No pressure. You never push anybody into anything, and you've helped our family get some lovely places.
Yes, well,
To
thank
meet.
you. I appreciate it. And I should say, at this stage of my career, probably 95% of my business is repeat and referral business. So if you need references, I've got lots of them.
Oh, I know you have. You're amazing. I trust. I love all realtors. I trust most realtors, but you are my go-to person because we know you through networking personally, and also we've had no complaints so far. So, Ian English, you're the person to go. Thank you for your time again, and I do look forward to next month's podcast video with you.
Yeah, well, I say thanks for the opportunity for this, and we'll see you soon. Take care.
We will. Have a lovely day. Bye for now.
Bye.